afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'll call the hearing to order for the record. My name is Gary McLean, and I'm the service hearing examiner for the city of College Place. Today, we are here for a 1:30 hearing regarding an application on a preliminary plat proposal. In this matter, Brandon Stepper is the applicant, and the owner of the property is Brandon Stepper, Virginia Burnett. And this is a plat, essentially the 8 lots of 36 acres, located in the 200 block of Northeast Maple Avenue. And for the record, prior to today's hearing, I handled another matter for the city of College Place, and also involved a county hearing examiner. And I've been to the area, I've driven the roads and the road network several times, I did it again today. So I'm familiar with the topography of the setting and where the proposed plat will occur. The format we will follow today, as the city code provides, is a hearing such as this. It's my obligation to consider all testimony and evidence, staff report, the application material, and then to draft a written decision approving or disapproving or approving subject conditions, the application, which is a preliminary plat application. And the format we'll follow today will be I'll ask staff who reviewed the matter to summarize their staff report, any conditions or changes to the plat that they've recommended based on their review and analysis. Followed by that, I will give the applicant an opportunity to speak to the merits of their proposal, because burden of proof is always on the applicant to demonstrate that they comply with applicable city codes and state subdivision requirements. Following that comment period, I will open it to any members of the public who have come today who would like to speak regarding the application. After members of the public have a chance to speak, I will give the applicant an opportunity to respond as sees fit, and the staff to do so as well. During public comments, it's not a Q&A forum, and by that I mean it's not an opportunity for people to throw out a question, hope some of the answers are right away, like ping pong like that. Nope, it's public comment. But if you have a question, put your question on the table. So hypothetically, I see 5 people in the room, and maybe 5 people speak. 2 of you might have questions that you can raise. Raise your question as part of your comment, and when you're done, please be seated. Everybody else had a chance to speak, and once everybody's done speaking, that's when I turn to the applicant table and the staff table to address any questions or comments that people have provided. Okay? All right. Because this is an official public hearing, and state law requires an official record be made, there is a recording. It will be a digital recording of today's proceedings. I just ask that people only speak from the microphones, the applicant table, staff table. I've got one here, and when it's an opportunity for the public to speak, members of the public will be invited to come speak at that microphone. Please don't talk from a chair or somewhere else in the room or out in the hall, because it's hard to pick your voice up, and one person speak at a time. So if somebody has to develop a transcript, people aren't talking over one another, which can make it really difficult to type the transcript. Who's talking? All right, so before we begin, I will ask that anyone who would be providing factual testimony that you think you might be providing today, and if you take it up, that doesn't mean you have to testify, but if you think you might be providing factual testimony on any issue regarding this application today, I'm going to ask you all to take it up at this time. So if anybody who thinks they might be speaking today, please raise your right hand. Do each of you swear or affirm the testimony you might give today? Be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. All right, I see you all to know. And whether people come into the room or somebody who did not take the oath needs to speak, I want to change your mind and won't talk to them. Come up, remind me that you're not in the room, not going to just be individually or to any new people who come in who weren't here at this time. Okay? All right. I would ask that if you have a telephone and have a ringer or an iPad or any other kind of noise making device, please turn that off. Please adjust your settings now so that you don't get interrupted. And if you do receive a phone call or something during the course of the hearing, please don't pick up your phone and say hello. I'll hear it, and it will come up on the tape recording. Please excuse yourself and step out there into the hallway out that way to carry on your conversation. Okay? All right. With that, we're ready to go. So I would ask that the staff please introduce yourselves And I'll ask the applicant to take over the same.
I'm John Rickard. I'm the planning director for the city of College Place. This is Carolyn Holm, our administrative assistant.
Brandon Stepper. I'm the developer owner.
You're the applicant?
Applicant too, yep.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Rickard, I will turn to you. And the floor is yours for a summary of your staff report and recommendation today.
So as you just heard, we have Brandon Stepper here as the applicant and owner. Virginia Burnett is also part owner. She owns the lot that provides the primary access into the development off of Maple. The date of application was July 10th, 2018. It was determined on July 30th, 2018 that the application was complete. That is also the date that we sent out the notices for the determination of non-significance and notice to the surrounding property owners. The project is located in the 200 block of Northeast Maple Avenue. The land use is urban residential. Therefore, the zoning is a single family zoning of R75, which allows for only single family homes to be built in there, not duplexes. There are 8 lots on 1.36 acres. One of those lots will have the existing home on it, so there will be an additional 7 new dwelling units to the neighborhood. It'll be served by city water and sewer, also city emergency services. And I mentioned there, we issued a determination of non-significance on July 30th. And then a notice was mailed on July 30th as well to 30 surrounding property owners. It was published in the UB. It was also posted on site and around city municipal buildings and online our city website. We've received one public comment. It's a petition which contains 14 signatures from residents in the area. Here's an aerial image of the site. The 3 blocks in red are that 1.36 acres that will be developed. The maybe I should use a laser pointer here. The existing residence is right up in the northeast corner. This is the existing residential lot off of Maple, part of the Rima addition. There's 2 empty lots in the Rima addition, and the southern one will provide the access into this larger 1.36 acres. The surrounding, I think I actually have it on the next slide here. So here's our land use. You can see in this yellow area, all of this is urban residential, which allows for only single family homes. And then the zoning, this lighter yellow is R75. And the reason why this isn't blocked in here in the yellow is that the zoning map hasn't been updated. These properties were just recently annexed into the city, including the one to the north, which is not part of this application. But they all were annexed in and zoned R75.
Was it an unincorporated island?
Yes, it was one of our unincorporated islands we're slowly picking away at. So here is the kind of blown up version of the survey. So again, you see the lane coming in off of Maple, terminates in a cul-de-sac. There's 5 lots that have direct access off of the cul-de-sac. The existing home will not have access off the cul-de-sac. It'll still use its access easement that goes up to C Street. And then these 2 lots, 6 and 8, will be provided by a private driveway that serves only 2 lots. Our code allows for private driveways to serve up to 2 lots, and utilities will be run through this driveway access easement. This is a blown up version of the, and is one of the exhibits, is the blown up version of the preliminary utilities. So they'll run 8-inch sewer and water in here, which is adequate to serve the development. There'll be a hydrant at the end of the cul-de-sac. Our city standard is to have lighting at intersections and at cul-de-sacs, at the end of cul-de-sac, so there will be, that was one concern that was raised in the petition that was circulated. They had questions about lighting. It's not mentioned in the staff report because it is a city standard that we have, so. One thing that was mentioned by our city engineer and public works director is that the water meters for lots 6 and 8 need to be up here at the end of the cul-de-sac. They don't want them down here on the private drive. It makes it difficult for us to read meters when we have to drive into properties.
So you park the van and drive, yeah, things like that?
Well, and the other thing too is that the lines behind the meter become the responsibility of the property owner. So that's a delineation, and we want that up in the right-of-way, or at least in the public utility easement. There's some other things that I have here in my staff report that I want to mention. Both the fire marshal has reviewed this, the public works director, and the city engineer. And they have all found that the proposal substantially meets the adequacy of the proposed streets and fire systems within the development. So the fire marshal had a couple of comments about, obviously, a hydrant would be needed, and they'll be supplying that. And also, that private access easement needs to have some signage to prevent people from parking on it so that in an emergency they can get back there and respond. The street name needs to be Micaiah Court. Water main should be 8-inch. Obviously they're going to provide water and sewer to all lots. There's 8 conditions that the public works director mentioned, and then the city engineer will do once the preliminary plat has an approval. The applicant will submit detailed engineering plans, and the city engineer will review those for adequacy and compliance with our city standards and specifications. As I said, we've received the comment, the petition. Those are the highlights of the staff report. Staff does recommend that the hearing examiner approved this preliminary plat request.
I just think you overlooked that your recommended condition is number 11. You cite the street light requirements on page 8.
Oh, do I?
It was in the staff report.
All right.
You cite
the code
provision that I guess
made. I guess I did. Oh, I'm good.
I have one question. I did catch this. The requirement in subdivisions shall be served by one or more public streets providing ingress and egress to and from the subdivision at not less than 2 points unless approved otherwise by the council. And here we have a cul-de-sac. Where's the second point?
That's a good point. In certain circumstances, we do have subdivisions that, in smaller in scale, where it's not feasible to provide 2 points. In terms of when you look at the, let me go to the aerial of this, and we have residential development on both sides. In theory, there would be a long range projection of Northeast Maple that might tie in with Whitman at some future date. There are no city plans to do that sort of thing.
And there's no owned right-of-way right now?
There is no owned right-of-way on either side. Andy Lane is a private road that serves these 4 lots. Well, really the 2 back here.
And it doesn't abut the new plat, does it?
No, it does not.
The easement that is held by that benefits the existing house. Is the easement reserved, obviously, for access, but I presume it has emergency access provisions?
It's limited in scope in terms of width. I believe it's 12 feet, so it's not wide enough. It's wide enough to provide the emergency response. I mean, ideally it would be wider, but we really can't change how that is configured.
Is the easement in the file?
I don't know that it's shown in this file.
I didn't see it.
I think I read that somewhere.
Can I ask for a copy of the easement and a post-hearing exhibit?
Yep.
Sure, the fire marshal cares, but I have 2 points. And depending on the language, will staff, and you can supplement this later, but one question I would have, would staff recommend a condition on that topic? In other words, to properly record, if it isn't already, that emergency access can be provided on that easement, which would achieve the 2 points for emergency access purposes.
So you're saying that a condition that would require the emergency access tie-in, or that easement tie-in somehow with the cul-de-sac to achieve additional...
Okay. Yeah. I mean, some subdivisions have a crash gate or something, but here you already have an access route.
Okay.
It's currently open, right? It's private, I understand, but it benefits that. Benefits the applicant, right?
Right.
Having their at the house. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Mr. Stepper, you're the applicant. What say you about the staff report? I assume you had an opportunity to review it and the recommended conditions and everything. The floor is yours.
When you say staff report, you're referring to the 3 objections to the development?
No, I'm talking the staff report. It's a document.
I haven't
received staff report.
I haven't received any staff report. I'm sorry.
8 pages? Did you not review it?
I haven't even. I don't even have it on me.
It was sent
Michael,
to...
Michael, do we have staff report?
Do you guys have it?
The staff report was sent to the applicant,
I
believe.
Maybe I didn't print off that one. I apologize.
Well, it's only 8 pages.
I can provide my copy.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Brought other stuff.
Well, Mr. Stepper, I'm going to give you an opportunity today to look through that. But right now, do you have any other comments, responses, or validation, or what would you like to say regarding the merits of your application?
We have provided a SEPA checklist per PBS Engineering and a geotechnical engineering report to serve the development and have the complaints as well as the bulleted highlights analyzed, reviewed. And what you were talking about on 11 on the light proposal is also on this SEPA environmental checklist.
Intended to put in street lights?
Yeah, and I'm trying to work with everybody that I can to appease them, and I kind of like the lighting on the College Avenue that was put on, and I'd like to kind of continue that theme if we can with those kind of lights, if that's possible, and have reviewed the fire hydrant concerns, the lighting concerns, the traffic concerns as well, and everything seems to be going well, and it seems to meet the standards that need to be met. I've had multiple conversations and meetings with John and Paul and the group about this, trying to make this work for everybody. So that's all I got to say, I guess, at this point.
And I'll let you know, my question will be, do you as the applicant have any objection to any of the recommended conditions of approval that the staff included in the staff report? And you told me you did not read it, so I believe, is this your agent seated next to you?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and your name is?
Michael Melder, PBS, project, civil engineer.
Is your project engineer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right, so I'm going to give you two an opportunity to take a look at it, and if we need to take a recess after public comments, we can discuss that.
I have a print PDF, and Chuck, yeah, state, or two more copies. One for Brandon, for myself.
Do you want to review it before we turn to public comments, or do you want to?
Yes.
Up to you.
Yeah, I'd like to review it if that's okay.
All right, we're going to take a recess for about 5 minutes.
Sounds good.
Why don't you all just let me know when you're ready to go back on the record, okay?
Perfect. Sorry.
No, I'm not sure where this went.
I don't know, I did not get a copy of it. I'm just reading through. Basically, starting here, these are just, you know, this is what John put together. This is your general, you know, staff report, just what background, what they've done, what the city's done for you. I've read through.
It's in similarity.
So you've got your SEPA, that's your SEPA. So this is.
We're back on the record, and it's now 11:56, so you're for a brief recess to allow the applicant to read and refer about the staff report. Have you had an opportunity to review the staff report?
Yes.
And do you have any comments, objections, or questions about it, or do you support it, or what?
I support it. We read it.
And you have no objections to the?
No objections. We read the conditions of approval, and it's all what we have been working.
You need to speak up. I can't hear you. And if I can't hear you, the report is not picked up, so can you repeat what you said?
Sure. We meet the conditions of approval, and we agree with them. Everything that we have had meeting-wise with the City of College Place has been in accordance with it.
Anything further from the applicant team?
Nope.
Regarding the pending application, if you'd like to speak, please come forward to the microphone. Raise your hand if you'd like to speak. All right, sir, why don't you come up first? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Dan Schultz,
280
Northeast Maple Avenue, the lot adjacent to the lot that's going to be used for the access to the development.
And can you spell your name for me?
S-H-U-L-T-Z.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz.
Yeah, I'm pretty much aware of the feelings in the neighborhood. They don't like the idea of having this done, but we realize that the only concerns we really can express are three, basically. One of which is the fact that Northeast Maple Avenue exits on Northeast C. And that may now sound like a problem, but if you have, here we have up here, could you point, Larch comes down and makes a sharp turn, a full turn, before it empties into Northeast C. And as you're exiting from Northeast Maple Avenue, you have no visibility in terms of what's coming around that corner. And one of the concerns we have is we now have 15 families living on Northeast Maple. This will add seven more, and we're very concerned about the probability of a serious accident at that intersection. The city made some moves to ease that problem a few years ago, in that they decreased the speed limit to 25 miles per hour just prior to that turn. Even so, there are always people who take exception to that and are speeding around there. So our concern is now we're going from 15 families to potentially 22 families exiting at what is a very hazardous intersection. That's our primary concern. We have three concerns totally which were expressed on the petition, which was distributed and signed by the neighborhood. And I think you have a copy there.
This being a copy of what?
Yes, that's a copy of it. And it speaks to that first issue. The second issue is the number of people that are residing on Northeast Maple Avenue, and then we'll be back in the addition when it comes to, for example, fire, if there's a fire hazard. And the only exit at this point is on Northeast Maple. And it does increase, I think it's pointed out in one of the reports which I read.
The point about what?
About the development. Okay. And I want to refer to this. It adds 13 parking spaces beyond those that would be in the homes. That there will be 30 people residing in that area. And it was projected that there would be an increase of 80 trips on that street with the addition of the proposed addition. The second thing is street lighting, and that's what I already spoke to. And that would be the importance of having a street light at the end of the road leading into the development. And the reason for that is you're going from one grade to another. And the street coming down out of that addition will have a grade. And kids being what they are, with bicycles and so on, they can. We'll probably see that as a point to get a good start and right down the street. And of course, at dusk or at night, that could be particularly hazardous without proper light. Yeah, at that intersection, and probably back in there also in the addition. Those are the primary concerns that we have. And you have them, of course, in a written petition.
That will be addressed. That will be addressed.
See, I think it's your autograph.
Yeah.
It has 280 written by your autograph.
280. That's right.
And I see Carolyn Schultz.
I like it.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And just for the record, if you let me know if you have 18, I saw you have a placeholder on your list.
Yes.
And this is a public comment.
Sounds good.
The city already said it's okay.
So 18A, maybe.
I don't see any issue. Right. Your comment letters, will be addressed. Or
would anyone else like to speak regarding this application? So please raise your hand. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come today. If you'd like to speak regarding the application, is anyone else, please raise your hand. Seeing no one else coming forward to speak during the public comment portion of the public hearing, I will call them. It includes part of the public comment portion of our public hearing. Now I will move to the give an opportunity to the applicant team to respond to the comments, which were provided by Mr. Schultz, and we've got a team which you have called a petition signed by one of his public neighbors. I believe you all have a copy of that letter or petition. And so I turn back to you to respond first, and then I'll turn to staff.
Let's try sure. To see if you're more professional.
All right. So thank you for the public comments.
For the record, can you identify yourself?
Yes.
The transcript is made.
Yes, sir. It's Michael Melder, project engineer with PBS, with Mr. Stepper. Yes, sir. So thank you for the comments. We reviewed items 1 through 3. Item 1, I would like to note that the city, as part of their packet, item 10,
number two indicated that a traffic impact analysis was not required, and we were not impacting the level of service for Northeast C Street. So I would, I guess, await the city's follow-up to that public comment as well. Item number two, as part of the conditions of approval, we will be providing a water main extension and hydrant extension to provide adequate fire flow for Mr. Stepper's subdivision. That water main extension and hydrants will increase the service capacity for the surrounding area, and by meeting the conditions of approval and development standards, I believe we will improve that area and not actually hamper fire service. Item number three, the street lights, as a condition of approval, the city will require the street lights at the intersections and termination of the cul-de-sac. And I believe that will address the concerns for item number three. No, sir.
You heard my question to pose to staff about access, about two points. Are you familiar with the terms of the easement, which I've asked a copy to put into the record? I assume you're familiar with it, and you're not.
No, sir. So there are PBS, where we are doing the survey work, as well as the engineering, and the surveyor, Greg Flowers, has handled the layout of the subdivision, and we have not engaged in the actual formal engineering design yet, so I'm not entirely up to speed with the easement that you're referencing.
I have read the easement.
Yes, sir.
On the
record, that's
I have read the easement for the what I call the Homestead House 890, and there is a easement to the back lot currently.
Are you the owner?
I am.
One of the owners?
I am the owner and developer, yes.
So you own this easement?
I own this easement at this time, yes. And it will, if a fire lane needs to be accessed from that lane to make the two points like you were referring to, I'm sure that we can put something in there to meet whatever concerns you have. It's just no other traffic from the easement beyond is going to be necessary or used, I guess. But if a fire lane needs to be used, that's, I'm sure it can be.
I'm not necessarily talking about fire lane, and I was just throwing in a hypothetical. But if emergency access
yes.
is not a part of the easement, do you believe that the who granted the easement?
The easement is from the existing house structure. It has an easement, yeah, thank you. From C Street through there, it's in the title spelled out, because there was two lots there originally, and that lane was to have access to both back lots when it was in the county. So now that it is R75, the easement's going away for the back lots, but in the case of emergency services, we can propose that and see if we can come up with something that, whatever, appeases.
Okay. Anything?
This is Michael Melder with PBS. In regards to the easement, is it mandatory or is it a suggested?
I'm just throwing it out
okay.
as a possibility.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So may I continue? Okay. As a condition of laying out the subdivision, we did provide a single point of EVA access, emergency vehicle access, from Maple into Mr. Stepper's subdivision, and we did provide code compliant fire department turnarounds, which is my
understanding.
Yes. Sorry. Cul-de-sac. And it's my understanding that cul-de-sac will likely be striped as a no parking And that is a city standard to allow for the turnaround of fire trucks or emergency vehicles.
Thank you very much. And to back to the city staff.
This is John Rickard, City of College Place. I would like to address the municipal code that talks about not less than 2 points of access unless otherwise approved by the city council. In general, when city staff is reviewing a subdivision, that statement there is more geared towards larger subdivisions where we're looking at a significant amount of traffic, and we want to make sure that there are more than one direction to get in and out of a subdivision, not necessarily for infill. So I can show you a couple of examples just in the area, actually, of examples of infill development that where we have cul-de-sacs that aren't served by more than 2 points of access. Obviously, you can see up here off of C Street, we have some cul-de-sacs. We also have one that was done recently in the mid-2000s, Mulberry Court. It's a cul-de-sac. But then when you go out to our larger subdivisions like Garrison Village Way, you can see we have access, public access off of Larch, and then public access off of Myra, and also Crest Lane Drive. It's a larger subdivision. And generally, the way we handle these infill ones is that if staff doesn't see the need to have a secondary point of access, we would make a recommendation for approval, and then at final plat approval, of course, council is going to, which is by city council, they would authorize the 1 point of access. In this case, I can see the it may be advisable to provide a secondary emergency access easement, possibly just to the existing lot, in the event that there was a fire on lot 3 where the existing house is. It might be a good idea to actually have an access easement off of the cul-de-sac to lot 3 in the event that the fire department couldn't get down this lane. And it's not scaled out here, you can see the lane right there. It's not very wide. And it could be difficult for our fire truck to get down that. Our fire marshal has reviewed this, and he's here today, and he could speak to access, emergency response access, if you have additional questions. But he does not see the need to, at this point, provide any additional secondary access, at least from the emergency response standpoint. And from a traffic flow standpoint, it's an infill development, and it really is not in the public's interest to have another street network that would provide additional access. The city engineer is here. He can also address the petition item 1 in regards to the traffic and why we didn't require a traffic impact analysis, if you have any questions regarding that. And
if he wants to speak to that, I think that would be helpful, because there is a public comment that we should have been.
Okay.
And so is it the city engineer?
Yes, Robert Gordon.
For record, my name is Robert Gordon. I'm the city engineer of the city of College Place. And what's that?
Gordon.
Yes, Robert Gordon. G-O-R-D-O-N. Got it. We did not require a traffic impact analysis. Our standard approach is to look at projects that generate 100 trips or more. This one falls in, I think the secret document said 88. My estimate was more like 76. So it falls under that threshold as a residential development if it was required. In addition to that, if the Washington State Department of Transportation records all officer recorded traffic incidences, since 2012, at least from my review, I have not seen anything at that intersection on Maple and C Street. So taking all that together, we didn't feel it was necessary to record.
No accident.
What's that? None that I've been able to find. That doesn't mean there haven't been any. Not everything gets reported, but that gives an indication of the level of severity at that corner. That said, that's not an optimal location. I think we all recognize it's not good to have intersections that close to curbs. So
I will say that on my site visit today, as I was exiting, I was going to turn right, and I did notice personally in my own drive, I was fully stopped at Maple and C, and there was quite a bit of heavy traffic coming. That would be heading east, right? Just as soon as I was ready to accelerate, thinking there was plenty of space after a car that passed me, I will note that there were two or three drivers that came along C at a high rate of speed, and they were closing quickly. So I fully appreciate the concern that turning out of that intersection can be a challenge when you have drivers that are violating the speed limit. You all have traffic calming and other tools in your box that you use on things like this, or considering that?
We've looked at a number of options in addition to some of the things that were mentioned earlier. We're actually looking at roundabouts in that area to slow down traffic and kind of provide some level of directional control, especially getting onto C Street. We had a study done earlier this year, the Central College Place City Study. It's a planning study, but it had a transportation component. And they looked at this intersection of 2 to the south on Larch, and they decided there was really no improvements necessary on this particular intersection. So that again kind of implies at this point, doesn't mean in the future there's not something we shouldn't be doing. There's not a huge demand or need for it, at least not with respect to the information we have. The study also took into account a number of other larger developments that were coming up, pipeline kinds of developments coming up in the next few years. So it anticipated a lot more traffic in the area. This particular intersection sees about, I want to say close to 6,500 vehicles per day in just that little particular area. It's a lot of traffic based on that study. And so again, the additional 76 to 80 trips a day are not a huge impact to that area. Although, again, it's not an optimal intersection. You understand that. So.
Are you a licensed engineer?
I certainly am.
Transportation?
I'm not a transportation engineer. We lean on consultants for a lot of those reviews.
But you're Washington PE.
That's correct.
And is it your professional opinion that the trips generated by this proposed plat will not cause a drop in the level of service at that intersection?
That is my opinion based on the information research provided to us by transportation engineers.
And is it your professional opinion that off-site drainage improvements or improvements along roads that are serving this plat, the impacts of this plan are not substantial enough to warrant you requiring those kind of improvements?
Yeah, at this time, yes.
Anything else?
No, I would like to address, I think there's some other questions on the concerns here in terms of the secondary fire access. I just wanted to bring up one point. The College Place Municipal Code 1624-140 mandates that cul-de-sacs can't be any more than 400 feet long. That informs us as we look at these kinds of developments as to the level and length of an intersection before there would be a concern in terms of having more than one access. So we use that to balance our review in terms of how we look at a development.
And this is short.
Yes, this is about 200 at the beginning of the cul-de-sac, and I think it's probably another 45 to 50 feet beyond that. So maybe a total of 260.
This time.
Based on what you've heard the staff say, does the applicant table have any additional information?
No, sir.
Okay. I will hold the record open for a copy of the easement. We'd like to see that. I do appreciate and understand that the city staff and professionals that are reviewing it do not believe that the impacts of this project would primary service needs are such that an additional access point would be required. But I will also note that the hearing examiner does not have authority to say that a plat is perfectly great and okay and approvable with just one access point. Only the city council does. And if I remember the city council, I think I would be looking for justifications. And if one of them was looking at options, I think that easement needs to be in the record. So they may or may not go along with the staff recommendation, but the better for moving forward for the applicant's sake. And I don't think applicants like to do things twice or three times. So you may get a no, and you might have to start over if you don't leave the option on the table. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that I would recommend that be there, but I do want to see these success. Okay. Seeing there's nothing else, no one else wants to speak. I do have copies of all the materials. I will take everybody under advisement. And Mr. Rickard, or well, actually, to the applicant, Mr. Pepper, how soon would you be able to provide a PDF copy of the easement instrument we've been referring to? You need to send that to Mr. Rickard's attention. You need a week, 3 days, close of business? What?
Week. Close of business.
Today? You can go today?
Sure, I guess.
Well, I'll give you a school tomorrow. Okay.
Okay.
I have a feeling you might call your title company and they might say tomorrow. But if you need additional time, let me know. I'll hold the record open just as long as we get it this week. And Mr. Rickard will receive it and I'll send you copies of it. Okay. All right, with that, the public hearing is closed. I will put all of your advisement.
Greg should have a copy of that.